There we go. Now we're rocking and rolling. All right. Welcome to the Council Cast. This is episode 189, being recorded on December 21st, 2021. The Council is now in session, and as with every week, we will make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit.
Random shit?
With all right. No background and absolutely no expertise. All Council Cast decisions are final and have no bearing on anything whatsoever.
That's for sure.
Well, you know, maybe some random shit, but definitely some science. Is have you guys ever seen a millipede in real life?
It's incredibly hard to count the legs.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Have you ever counted 1,000 legs on a millipede?
Nah, they're kind of creepy. You just squish them.
It's like centipedes are actually like...
Centipedes are creepy. Like millipedes 50? Are just weird.
You know what? Tell me more about it while I go look up some facts.
Well, facts. If you have seen a millipede with 1,000 feet on it, I'd be very surprised because apparently scientists have found the first true millipede.
What?
They did, in fact, find a millipede that had 1,306 legs on it.
Wait, just for the sake of those of you who can't see this, there's no picture in this article. I'm very disappointed.
That's what I was going to go look at.
There's no video. There's no picture. There's just
I
people
found
commenting.
First millipede. Trust me, I'm a scientist.
Exactly.
You do not want to see a picture of it. I'm just going to say that right now.
Where's it at?
I found it on phys.org. I'll
post it on our thing.
Here, maybe. Let me see if I can share this. I might be able to
it
share
looks like it. A tapeworm.
Millipede with 1,000 legs. Ugh. That looks
That's just gross. A long brown right. rope.
Yeah, so this millipede is the first millipede to actually have been found that is over that has over 1,000 legs on it, so or 1,000 feet, however you want to call it.
Until recently, it was only 750 legs. Wowza!
Yeah, this almost doubles it. Apparently, they found it in an underground hole 60 meters below the earth in a mining area in Australia. Of course, because why not? Australia just has all the other weird and creepy things. So
they do. Isn't such that's so weird.
It's just so sad. I mean,
go ahead.
What planet was a planet and then it wasn't a planet anymore?
Pluto.
Is it Pluto? And then, I mean, there was a couple of things I know we talked about recently that, and this is another example. I mean, millipedes are millipedes. Apparently not. That's the crazy thing. Now they're not. I mean, now they're going, what? We're not millipedes anymore? We never had 1,000 legs? This is crazy.
You know, I was always under the impression that the difference between millipedes and centipedes was how many legs was per body segment. Am I just incorrect in that?
Yeah.
Where's my fact check?
Let's see. Centipedes. Oh, I don't know, but I saw this really funny meme the other day. It was a video on Instagram, and this grandma in Ireland was talking about how there were centipedes in the sitting room.
Oh, no, it totally is. Centipedes have one leg per segment, and millipedes have two legs per segment.
And the grandma kept talking about how she wasn't afraid of the centipedes. However, she kind of got her wires crossed and was calling the centipedes pedophiles. She's like, there are pedophiles in my sitting room. Oh, those pedophiles, God. You know what? I'm not afraid of them, though. I'm not afraid of the pedophiles. They're dead. I have dead pedophiles in my sitting room. But they're just in there. They just walk into the sitting room, those pedophiles. Nobody corrected her. They're all like, wait, what'd you say, Grandma? What's that about the pedophiles? And she's like, yeah, I told you there are pedophiles in my sitting room.
Oh, okay.
All right, Grandma.
I really need to stop looking at these centipedes and millipede pictures because it's kind of gross. Not gonna lie.
I give it a thumbs up for finding it because, you know, that apparently was hard to do until just recently.
Yeah, I give it a thumbs down that we have not found a millipede before, and somehow we called an insect a millipede without ever having found one with 1,000 legs.
I totally agree.
I think that they should have 1,000,000 legs, though, because millipede million makes more sense.
That is definitely not how
it works. I totally
agree
with that comment, too. It's like the metric system or something, isn't it?
That's right. It's okay because, you know, we don't use the metric system here.
We don't use it. We don't need it. Get it out of here. That's why they found it in Australia, of all places. They tried to find like, here, and they were like,
It's just like in the UK where they use the metric system, except for when they drive, because everything is still in miles and miles per hour, but you can only buy things in liters and milliliters.
Yeah, and you can measure your weight in pounds, kilograms, or stones.
Stones, that's right. That's terrible.
About 8
stones. I was trying to see what they said in the internet here about millipedes, but then I saw an article that said, are millipedes friendly? Which I just thought was hilarious. How would you even know if a millipede was friendly or not? I mean, I said hello. I said hello, and they never sent anything back. They just slither it off. So I don't know if they're friendly or not.
They have 1,000,000 legs that you could shake hands with.
1,000,000 legs, and they didn't shake my hand once. I don't know. No, it's just crazy.
Ooh, that's awesome. Well, you know, it's something that millipedes probably don't have is eyeballs. But humans do, and apparently, when you are in space, your vision starts to degrade because of the fluid that builds up in your eyes. And apparently, NASA has developed some new sleeping bags that will fix this.
Just in case you're wondering, millipedes, most species of millipedes have small compound eyes consisting of bundles of optical units known as simple eyes or Ocelli.
So do astronauts get these simple eyes? Was that how this gets fixed?
Yes. Actually, it's so I'll give you the science behind it. Apparently, is that as you are sleeping on Earth, the fluid in your body, I guess, naturally kind of collects around your eyes and. Mm-hmm. It's fine because as long as you're sleeping and then you stand up and gravity will start pulling all that fluid back down to your legs, it's not a problem. In space, there's no gravity. So there's no way for the fluid to leave your head. So what NASA has developed is a sleeping bag that will suck the fluid down to your feet.
So the sleeping bag is just basically a compression sleeping bag?
I think it's more like a vacuum sleeping bag.
Well, but can't they just hook that up into their spacesuit so that it just does this to their legs without having to be in a sleeping bag?
Just out of the scene from Spaceballs when they have the vacuum cleaner hooked up to the plant sucking all the oxygen out. And the three of them are standing there saying, suck, suck, suck. I'm like, well, I don't like that. Stop saying that.
That's exactly what's going on here.
Stop saying that.
You know, it looks like you kind of crawl into a little bag, and then it looks like it would do the same thing, kind of like sucks on your body. Like,
That's not good. Don't say that again.
It looks strange.
This guy kind of looks like he's in pain, too, so I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It looks incredibly uncomfortable. But there'll be no gravity, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, I have no idea. So it's a sleeping bag that fits around your waist, enclosing your lower body, and a vacuum cleaner-like suction device is then activated, and it draws fluid towards your feet. So if you want to get, you know, sucked off in space, you can definitely do that here, and it'll fix your eyesight.
Oh my gosh.
Here's a video of Bill Murray.
I am not impressed with this. I don't know why they wouldn't just make it part of a space suit.
Because you don't wear your space suit to bed?
Yeah. You get in your space PJs.
You put in your space jammies. You don't need to get in your space
suit.
Space. Well, it's compression. I don't get it. I'm in the sleeping bag.
It's suction, not compression.
It's suction.
It's the same thing.
Oh boy.
Compression, suction. I give it a thumbs up because my concern is that if you're in space for that long and your vision is reduced to the point of not being able to see, how hard would it be for you to come back to Earth and fly that spaceship home? I wouldn't want to rely on that, dude.
They have autopilot just for that reason.
Well, and if the autopilot breaks, you're screwed. So
I think you're screwed either way.
If 2001 A Space Odyssey has taught us anything, if the autopilot breaks, you really are screwed because it's trying to kill you.
I give it a thumbs up for the suck-off machine, so we're good.
Oh, my God.
Thumbs up for that. That suck-off machine is out of this world.
I'm going to have to say thumbs down because I've already
making
made
it gross.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that you don't have to make a point about is HDMI 2.1 ports on your new TV and not actually supporting all of the features of HDMI 2.1. So, have anybody bought a TV recently? Has anybody been out there looking?
Not that recently.
Yeah,
no.
We bought one when we were in, so it's about a year ago.
All right. Well, one of the specs you might be looking for when you're looking to buy a new TV is what version of HDMI does it have?
Yeah.
And the newest spec is HDMI 2.1. Which is supposed to be, as you would imagine, an upgraded version of HDMI 2.0.
Yeah,
and
of course.
2.1 brings along with it a whole lot of features that are really, really nice, actually. You know, so features such as apparently fixed rate link signaling, variable refresh rates, auto latency mode, low latency mode, and enhanced audio return channel. Brings all these great features, except for the fact that HDMI 2.1 doesn't actually require all of those features, just like 2.0 did. So, essentially, the certifying body for HDMI was basically like, you know what, let's make this way more complicated. And we're basically going to say, hey, 2.1 can mean that it has these features, but it can also mean that it doesn't have these features. And we're going to leave that up to you to figure that out.
Thanks, governing body. Where are they
yeah,
out?
Merry
like,
Christmas.
Half of them were out on vacation or something. In the Hamptons.
So, yeah, essentially, basically, anything that was certified as a 2.0 device is also now technically certified as a 2.1 device, even though you don't have the new features in them.
Great.
So now if you're out there looking to buy a TV and you're looking for one of those special features that you thought were included in HDMI 2.1, I highly recommend you reading your box or the product manual, or hopefully the manufacturer is nice enough to tell you what they did or did not include in that TV you're buying.
This is almost like this 5G thing all over again.
It almost is like the 5G thing. Yep. It's like, which 5G?
Well, not real 5G. Well, it's kind of like 5G. It's as fast as 5G, so we call it 5G. But it's not 5G.
Yeah, it's just like 5G. It's almost just like how extremely complicated USB 3.1 is, which we've talked about before on this show. So, you know, I just don't understand why we have to make this way more complicated.
I know why.
Money.
Money.
Money, 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 money.
Because HDMI cords and HDMI cords aren't very expensive in the grand scheme of things. And if they get you to accidentally buy one that you don't need, you're not going to return it. It's a huge marketing.
That's true.
What if we just make this complicated enough that they just start accidentally buying stuff they don't need, and then we get to sell more stuff?
Do you remember when used to buy HDMI cables, and it was like you could get the $5 cheap no name brand cable, or you could buy the monster cable, and it was like $80 for the same cable.
Yeah,
and it was no better.
Yep.
Marketing. But it looked cooler.
But it did look cooler. I'll give you that.
It looked cooler, and it had that little, like, they talked about the braided mesh something, blah, blah, blah. You could lift up a semi-truck with this cord.
I must think that all that stuff is worse because it puts a lot of weight on the cord, and it's pulling down on the component. It probably makes it.
Probably damages it. You're right.
Probably damages it with all that weight because those cables are heavy, some of those.
That is true. Well, yeah, I give this a thumbs down. Don't make it more complicated to buy a TV. It's complicated enough.
Thumbs up for that.
But you know, speaking of things that are apparently extremely complicated, is Toyota's remote start feature on their key fobs is now going to require a monthly subscription if you want to keep using it. So apparently Toyota, they have if you buy a new car, it probably comes with a key fob, and it probably has a button for remote start. And apparently, starting, I don't even know when, I'm going to just say now, if you want to keep using that functionality to remotely start your car from your key fob, it's going to cost you $8 a month.
I don't get this.
Here's my question about this, though. Because our Toyota dealer in town says if you want remote start, you have to go to this third party person in town, and then you get a whole separate remote start key fob.
So are they
really?
What?
Yeah. It's like not Toyota branded at all.
So that must be a third party.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting that that remote start is maybe a new thing for Toyota?
Either it's a new thing or our Toyota dealership is junk, which I'm not saying that they're not. And you could probably have gotten a remote start through Toyota at other dealerships. They just weren't willing to go through the hassle. So what I am saying is you might be able to get around this $8 a month thing if you go find some local person in town to set it up for you through.
Well, I don't understand why it requires why does it require a subscription? You just have to be within the vicinity of your car and you push a button.
Well, that's what's a little confusing is because Toyota apparently has an app as well that you can remotely start your car from. And that app is through their Remote Connect service. And that service costs $8 a month. But so for some reason, Toyota's tied the remote start function of the car to that service. Even though, like you said, Brian, I mean, you should just have a radio wave from your key fob to the car. What is it going to the cloud for? Why do I need to pay
for
it?
So now I can be 1,000 miles away and start my car.
I doubt it even does that though.
Well,
that makes sense. I have a feeling Toyota's trying to get rid of car keys. They just want you to do everything from your phone.
Which is weird because Toyota doesn't have a phone brand.
No.
Unless Apple is trying to buy Toyota. You heard it here on
Toyota's
the council
trying
first,
to buy
people.
Apple. Apple. Maybe they're going to merge.
Yeah, there's an Apple Toyota merger happening. Live on the CouncilCast. You heard it here first.
There you
so
go.
Would you keep that Toyota and Apple, or would you be at Tapple, or would you be at Apple?
No, you'd be at Toyota and Apple. They're going to keep their own branding. They're going to have their own marketing teams. They're going to double everything up. And if any Toyota employees want to have the Apple devices or vice versa.
Apple Toyota. Okay. I don't know how you combine the two. I mean, Tapple would be my best guess.
Tapple. I think Tapple.
Are Apple and Toyota merging?
I don't know how you do it the other way.
Apple and Toyota are rumored to make a vehicle together.
There you go.
In September of 2021, Apple is rumored to be visiting Toyota and preparing to lay the groundwork to mass produce a branded car by 2024. Here's what we know.
Well, I guess
the only idea is it's so crazy.
Here's what we know. It'll cost more than it needs to.
It most likely. There is one good thing, I guess. They are giving you a free trial of this service for somewhere between the next 3 to 10 years. So if you're lucky enough to get in a free trial, you might be able to sell the car before it actually comes due for you having to pay for it.
Oh my God. cars will have remote start monthly service fees.
Most likely. You know, it's another way for them to just try and get you to pay for more stuff. So I give it a thumbs down. I don't see why your key fob needs a subscription. So
yeah, I give it a thumbs down for having to pay for it, and I give it a thumbs up for the marketing genius who came up with, hey, what if we just squeeze the last pennies that our car owners have? I want to see how many Toyota cars are on the road in the U.S.
I mean, $8 a month, they could make like probably $8 billion off of that.
In September of 2021, sales of 152,000 vehicles is how many. So in September, they sold 152,000 vehicles. Toyota did.
So multiply that by 12. Assume they just do that every month.
Yeah, it was a decrease. So, yeah, 150,000.
So that'd be 1.8 million cars a year times $8 a month. Wow.
100,000.
That's a lot of money.
$14 million?
Huh?
A month?
Well, it'd be monthly. So wait, it's 150,000 cars a month.
100,000.
What? What would that be?
$172 million a year.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And that's only for the cars that are sold that year.
Now, if you put that money in a bank, if it compounded interest at 2.25%, how much money would you have in 1,000 years?
We looked the Futurama episode up the other day where Fry is like, yeah, my bank account doesn't have very much in it. Yeah. I think I only had like 92 cents left back in 1999. And then he gets there. They're like, yeah, that's true. You only have 98 cents. He's like, with compounded interest at an average of 2.25%, that's like over $1 million or $1 billion or something ridiculous. And I was like, is that true? And I went to I found a calculator, and I was like, holy crap, they weren't messing around. That was like real in compounded interest over 1,000 years.
Anyway. That'd be pretty impressive. Well, be even better if you could do that with $8 a month subscription for your cars. So.
Oh my gosh, they're making hundreds of millions of dollars off of it. They have the potential to make hundreds of millions of dollars off of it. So the marketer who was like, yeah, people aren't going to care about $8 a month, but we will from hundreds of thousands of users.
So. Yep. He's like, just pay me that. That's my, just pay me the money you make off of that service.
Yeah.
That's my salary.
Yeah, exactly. Here's your bonus.
Well, you know, something that might be a bonus is if you're an anti-5G fanatic, you can now get a pendant that protects you against 5G energy.
Wait. I want one of these.
And it protects you.
No, you don't.
By being radioactive.
Yeah, it's radioactive.
So if you're concerned about getting radiation damage from 5G, you can buy this radioactive necklace that will also give you radiation damage.
It looked like it was going to be significant, the amount of radiation coming off this thing.
I didn't even read this one yet, actually. Did you?
I kind of was skimming it.
Why it was radioactive?
I did not pick up on why it was radioactive, but the fact that the pendant to keep you from the 5G cell phone signal was radioactive. It was just hilarious.
I feel like it was
It was talking
this
about
this is not
the,
real, right?
Oh no, this is totally a real product.
That's yeah, unfortunate.
It is. And it was banned in the Netherlands or
should be somewhere. Banned everywhere.
Here it goes. This is the excerpt. It says is that the radiation can damage tissue DNA and can cause, for example, like red irritated skin. It says that only low levels of radiation have been measured so far. However, if you were to wear this product for a prolonged period of time, like 24 hours a day for a year, you could expose yourself to a level of radiation that exceeds the stringentest limit for skin exposure in the Netherlands. So if you wore this thing for a year, you're going to be beyond what the limit of what you would be normally allowed to be exposed to.
Yikes.
That's crazy.
I mean, this is just perfect. I mean, protect yourself by hurting yourself. This is absolutely dumb.
I want to know who made it, though.
I don't know, somebody in China. Where did you think it came from?
I don't know. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Someone in China. It's hilarious.
I mean, I guess if you did this, you know, you could consider yourself a modern day Marie Curie who carried around radioactive elements, because she liked the fact that radium glowed, and turns out it killed her. Whoops.
I tried to watch that movie. Was it on Amazon or Netflix?
Which one?
I tried to watch it. It was hard to watch. Where she was Madame Curie, where she was working with the radioactive material, and she was trying to smash it up, and so she was like in a vat full of radioactive material, like pounding it up with hammers and things. There was no way she wasn't going to get cancer and die. I mean, it was going to kill her because she was always messing with it and always trying to pound it up and make it into powder so she could do experiments with it. Just a lot of those scenes. It was not a great show. It was pretty boring.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But who... Oh, I have so many questions. What's the name of it?
What's the name of
the movie?
Of the movie.
I don't know. It's a Netflix or Amazon original.
It is called Radioactive. And it...
1998.
No, 2019.
Radioactive, 1998 to 2001. It was a TV series.
No, that's not it.
I have no idea. Is this new?
It's probably still in my...
I typed in Madame Curie, and I got Adam Curry on IMDb. Is that the same?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's Amazon.
1943? 14 great movies about Marie Curie. Apparently it's on the Radioactive movie, I think, should be on Netflix. So
Radioactive is an Amazon original. It is
Oh, here it is. All one word. Ooh, what's she been in?
Rosamund Pike.
Oh, the only thing I always remember her in is in the Jack Reacher episode, first Jack Reacher movie.
She was in that. She's also in the new Wheel of Time movie show that's on Amazon.
Anyway, I didn't get very far, and I'm looking at this now. That I probably, as far as I got it, all they did was
Gone Girl,
bust apart, radioactive material. I'm thinking they're going to get sick, which is kind of the whole thing. So.
Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give a thumbs down to these people. You know, if you
thumbs down.
Do not buy anything that promises to protect you against 5G, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
But, you know, something that might be able to help protect you is Hyundai's new drink-serving and baby-carrying robot.
Yes. Okay, I'm just going to stop you right there. This is a big thumbs down.
You know,
I've already pre-ordered mine.
I actually, watching the little GIF here of this robot doing its thing, I think it's pretty darn cool. I kind of want one. I mean,
I do not.
It looks like, you know, it has little wheels. It can kind of like adapt itself to different situations. It won't fall over. I think this looks pretty neat. Maybe I wonder if I could ride it like a skateboard.
Yeah. What's its weight capacity? Here's the video.
It can go 19 miles an hour, and it only weighs 110 pounds, so that's not too bad.
19 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to put the baby in that.
Why not?
Doesn't say what the weight capacity is, though.
What? How fast can the fastest human run?
Limits its top speed to just below
40 miles an hour.
Considerably faster than the robots with legs.
Apparently, Usain Bolt ran 40 miles an hour.
No, I'm not asking how fast Usain Bolt runs. I'm asking how fast can Dad run when the robot takes off at 19 miles an hour?
Oh, it's going to catch.
Probably like.
Maybe, it's going to get away from you.
Maybe 10 miles an hour.
6 to 8 miles an hour is the average human running, and if we're all out of shape, that thing is going to be miles away before you catch up to it.
Well, you know, fortunately,
this is a great idea at all.
Wait, where did it say how far it could go? It can drive at that speed for 4 hours, so you just have to eventually catch up to it after 4 hours, it'll be dead.
Well, is it able to navigate around things at 19 miles an hour? It's going to have to slow down eventually, or it's going to run into something.
Let's hope it just stops somewhere.
I give this a thumbs up.
Yeah, I do like it. I like they call it the active stabilization, and I give that a thumbs up.
If they had just tried to market it as like a way for you to get stuff around, like I'm going to load boxes or something, but the baby carriage part makes me go thumbs down because it goes 19 miles an hour for 4 hours.
That's incredible.
You know, I like the picture. I like the idea of being able to use this as a drink delivery robot. So I think that's what I'm going to use it for.
Yep.
Just like this girl.
I mean, that's why I pre-ordered mine.
I figured out that
I could strap a keg to it.
Well, we need the boombox glasses, just like they have in the video here.
No. We need the boombox / cooler.
Oh yeah,
to put on there. Yeah. That was a while back, but that's the perfect thing to have on there.
That would be.
I'm surprised that the gal who picks up the glass off the top, why didn't she just pull one right from the bottom and smash them all over and say, clean it up, robot?
I give it a thumbs up. I like it. So
it can get through that zigzaggy area, too.
Yeah, exactly. Can navigate around all of the kids' toys that are on the ground.
So
still bring me a drink. Well, I think with that, we're going to move on to our Elon Musk pitches for the week.
Okay.
So we'll start there. Who's got a pitch for Mr. Musk?
I've got one.
Okay.
I want him to bring Christmas spirit and presents to all the little boys and girls in the world.
I
want him to do it on his spaceship.
Oh, use awesome. Spaceship to deliver gifts to everyone on Christmas. All right. Why not? That sounds fair. I think you can make that happen.
Do it, Elon. claim your spot as the richest man in the world and give everyone a Christmas gift on your spaceship.
If he does do that, I would like to think that NORAD also tracks his toy delivery schedule.
Mm.
And see how he compares. See how he compares to Santa.
We're going to come out with gifts for everyone by midnight. Oh, he's several hours behind schedule. I didn't say midnight in what time zone.
Wouldn't you think Bezos would be a better suited to deliver gifts all over the world in one night? I mean, he's got a bunch of elves helping him.
You know, you're probably right. That's why it's an Elon Musk pitch, because Musk needs to make improvements. Bezos is already there.
Yeah. Bezos is already doing this. And Musk, you have more money than him, so.
Perfect.
I have a pitch. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to afford one of these smart cars, you know, like a Tesla or whatever. And so I would like Musk to create a conversion kit so that I can change my car into a smart car.
And into a smart car or an electric car?
An electric smart car.
Whatever a Tesla electric is, I want a
smart car. All right.
Yeah. I want a conversion kit. I want to be able to convert my car into whatever.
You want to be able to put gasoline in the back and have it turn into electric energy.
However he wants to do it. He wants to actually create Mr. Fusion. I don't care. I just want it to be a conversion kit. Mr. I want to convert my old stupid car into a thank you. Theme song appropriate for what Perfect. My suggestion is. Yeah.
I think that makes sense. I think Chevy's already doing that, but sure. Sounds good.
Mr. Fusion.
Fusion. You know, I think my pitch for Mr. Musk is that, you know, it is getting cold around here, and when it gets cold, you either, you know, you want to heat things up either by, you know, using electricity or gas or something like that. And I think Mr. Musk should come up with a way to turn cold air into warm air with no energy input.
So it'd be a chemical process.
Sure. That would be fine.
Cold air into warm air with using zero energy.
Yeah.
I like
cold air in, warm air out.
This is smart. Mm. Cold air in air. Cold air
in. And it's like the proper humidity warm air as well, not just that dry air. I don't want dry warm air.
Blech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, I give that idea a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Wow. Three wins tonight. Three awesome ideas. Yep. No duds.
Goodwill for all.
Perfect.
Conversion kits. And what was the last one?
Cold air into warm air.
That's right. Cold air into warm air.
You can consider it a cold air conversion kit.
Cold air
Whatever.
Conversion kit.
All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and call this council meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We do record this podcast live Tuesday nights on YouTube. And if you liked what you saw and want to check out all of the past episodes for some reason, you can go to councilcast.org, where you'll only find them up to probably April of this year, so good luck. you might have some better luck finding the audio files, or not, I'm not sure. But you can try checking iTunes or your favorite podcatcher for that. And if you have a topic you would like the council's decision on, you can email us at idontcare@councilcast.org or connect with us on Twitter at @RealCouncilCast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
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 Hmm.